Local people, local stories. From KYW News Radio, this is The All Local.
The All Local is presented by Penn Medicine. Never stop believing. You can be the difference. I'm J. Scott Smith, and here's what's happening right now. Speedsters on Roosevelt Boulevard could face some heavy fines because, as we hear from KYW's Hadas Kuznets, the warning period for the speed cameras ended earlier today.
Leadfoot drivers on Roosevelt Boulevard are expected to become lighter in their wallets.
Based upon the warning period numbers and what our vendor is telling us, it seems like till people get a message that we're going to have a lot of tickets.
That's Scott Petrie, executive director of the Philadelphia Parking Authority. He says what was discovered during the red light camera warning period has been troubling.
We were seeing speeds over 100, some as high as 120 some miles an hour.
Captain Mark Overwise with the Philadelphia Police Department's Accident Investigation District says a lot of the problem has to do with the design of Roosevelt Boulevard.
It's a heavily traveled road. It's six lanes in each direction, and the center drive sometimes has underpasses where you have long stretches without any type of traffic control device when people gain speed.
The registered owners of cars snapped traveling 11 miles or more over the speed limit could be fined up to $150.
Petrie stresses the goal of the cameras isn't to make money, though. It's to change the behaviors of the drivers. Meanwhile, the city of Philadelphia is on track to see the most homicides in more than a decade. But as we hear from KYW City Hall Bureau Chief Pat Loeb, officials have high hopes for an anti-violence model that it's rolling out this weekend in West Philadelphia.
The model, called Group Violence Intervention, balances the threat of swift, severe, and certain punishment with social services and opportunities for employment and training. Coordinator Morris Hobson says police and prosecutors are involved, but also case managers and community members who've lost relatives to gun violence.
We have the support of all of these different agencies and entities, so we're very excited, very optimistic about the program.
The model has worked in many large cities, including Philadelphia. A pilot that ended in 2018 reduced shootings by 35%, according to research by Temple University. City officials had hoped to revive it sooner, but it requires in-person interaction, so COVID-19 postponed it. Deputy Managing Director Vanessa Garrett-Harley says this weekend will be a soft launch, with teams approaching a small number of people to participate.
I hope that we're able to communicate and get through, and that they will take advantage of services that we are able to offer and maybe be able to change the trajectory, but more importantly, that we will save some lives.
Harley says the program will be citywide at some point. Now, it's been 1 year since a law went into effect in New Jersey, allowing terminally ill patients in the Garden State to be able to take their own life with the help of a physician. KYW South Jersey Bureau Chief David Madden takes a look at how that measure is playing out.
The state reported a dozen people availed themselves of the option in the first 5 months on the books. All but two passed in their own home, according to the Department of Health. Corinne Carey, leader of the group Compassion and Choices in New Jersey, says just having it in place is a relief to many people.
Some of our supporters who are living with terminal illness that have been with us in this struggle to get this law approved are now focusing on living the rest of their lives instead of focusing their energies on how they're going to avoid suffering at the end.
New Jersey's law is considered on the restrictive side. It took years to get it passed. A patient must be of sound mind, given 6 months or less to live, and must obtain certification from two physicians. The lethal prescription is given to the patient who has to take it themselves.
Carey says over 40 hospitals, hospice centers, and other facilities in the state have policies allowing doctors to participate, but doctors are not required to take part. Switching gears, the NBA resumed play on Thursday night in Orlando, and the 76ers are back in action tonight against the Indiana Pacers. Now, the teams are currently tied for fifth place in the Eastern Conference. Meanwhile, the Flyers are following stay-at-hotel guidelines in Toronto as they get set to resume NHL play tomorrow against the Boston Bruins. We hear more on the Flyers from KYW's Ed Bankin.
With the Flyers dealing with bubble conditions in Toronto, Claude Giroux has been forced to spend time with his wife and baby son online as players remain separated from their families.
We're all at the rink and at the hotel, the whole team together, and anytime I have a chance to FaceTime my family, I do.
The Flyers will take on Boston on Sunday in the first of three round-robin games to determine their seeding for their upcoming playoff round. In between practices and games, the players aren't allowed to spend time out of the town, so Travis Sanheim and the rest of the Flyers are trying to make the best of their situation.
Playing games and they have football and frisbee and stuff like that, throwing that around as well. But try to keep busy as much as we can. They got a pretty good setup over there.
In addition to Sunday's game, the Flyers will also face the Washington Capitals and Tampa Bay Lightning at the end of the week. And that's the All Local presented by Penn Medicine. Never stop believing. You can be the difference. I'm J. Scott Smith. Listen live anytime on the radio.com app and on your smart speaker, just ask Alexa to play KYW News Radio.